This is the Angry GM, and today I am proofreading aloud the first article of the month of May, which is entitled, Maybe You Just Don't Get Attrition. I have a live studio audience listening in the Discord studios here at Angry Games HQ, and they are prepared to ask questions and make comments at the end of this article. My co-host Squeaky Chair is on hand to provide unsolicited comments of their own throughout the video or recording, not a video or recording. And so we are going to go ahead and just get started. A word of warning. Actually, we're going to take a sip of my coffee first because I have a wall at the back of my throat, which is going to affect my reading. And, you know, I wouldn't want the reading to go bad. Anyway, a word of warning. This is my once monthly random bullshit column. And that's just what it sounds like. I'm just going to rant and ramble, and I promise only that there will be words to read. Lots of words to read. If I'm lucky, and I usually am, those words will convey lots of interesting and useful ideas, but there are no guarantees here. Standard disclaimer disclaimered, I have no idea how to proceed, either with this long rambling introduction or with the actual column opener. These bullshit columns are often a chore to start. The thing is, I never write this bullshit for just one reason. I'm never just responding to some stupid piece of crap design that WotC shat into the ongoing D-Box 1 playtest. I'm never just calling attention to some YouTuber's dumbass commentary or some idiot thread on Reddit misunderstanding or misrepresenting some simple game design concept. And I'm never just finally weighing in on some discussion that's consumed my entire supporter Discord server for days. Instead, I write bullshit columns after a single concept or idea won't stop coming up in all those places, and I need to shut it all up once and for all. Today's bit of Bader-Meinhof topical synchronicity? It's challenge, and difficulty, and attrition, and micro-challenge, and the whole point of designing tabletop role-playing game systems. Why is it so hard to understand challenge? You just don't get challenge. I don't know how else to say it, and I don't know how else to start this column. If I tried to list all the dumbass things I've heard y'all say about challenge and difficulty in terms of encounter, game, and system design, I'd never get around to the meat of the article. Don't get me wrong, it'd be hilarious to read and fun to write, but it wouldn't be useful. So let me skip justifying myself for once and just cut right to the everyone's wrong but me. Whatever you think you know about challenge and difficulty, you're wrong. Especially if you think they're the same thing or the one measures the other. Wrong. Whatever rule books and game designers say about challenge and difficulty, they're wrong. Whenever your game of choice uses words like challenge rating and encounter difficulty, those terms are misleading and confusing and wrong. Whyever you think the attrition model of challenge is wrong or bad, wrong. And however much the dumbass designers at Wizards of the Coast justify stripping out their rest and resource mechanics because most games only have one combat per in-game day, friggin' wrong. Everyone's wrong but me, and I don't have time to argue. Instead, I'm going to use my time constructively explaining this shit to you. Trust me, it'll be important later. Like around October. Challenge and difficulty. What they are and how they ain't the same. I'm going to do you all a huge favor and just spell shit out for you. Clearly and concisely. I'm going to tell you what challenge and difficulty actually are. How they're related and how they ain't. Just like that. Challenge and difficulty, here, are game design concepts. And because I'm defining a pair of concepts, the definitions are going to be freaking conceptual. They ain't precisely quantifiable numerical things. And I say that for two reasons. First, because tabletop role-playing games love including stats and... I reversed some words there. I'm going to fix those words and then come back. Challenge and difficulty, here, are game design concepts. And because I'm defining a pair of concepts, the definitions are going to be freaking conceptual. They ain't precisely quantifiable numerical things. And I say that for two reasons. First, because tabletop role-playing games love including numerical stats with challenge and difficulty in the names. And second, because gamers think if you can't define a thing with numbers, you can't define it at all. Challenge defined. Challenge is the extent to which a game's outcome relies on the player's skill. That's it. That's literally all there is to it. This is why it's so friggin' baffling to me that people don't get this. It ain't hard. A challenging game tests your skills. A non-challenging game doesn't. Craps and Candyland are totally non-challenging. They're barely games at all. The outcomes depend wholly on die rolls in the former and the random arrangement of cards in the latter. You can't be good at either one. Gambling on craps is a different matter entirely, and a crap ton of fun, even if you can't win in the long run. Chess and Go are wholly challenging. Winning's entirely about making the right moves at the right time. There's nothing random about it. And the only external factor, who goes first, is a minor factor. Imagine you take 100 players of various skill levels and make them all play the same game with the same setup. If the outcomes, final scores, victories, rankings, whatever, correlate strongly with the players' skill levels, the game's challenging. If you have a few crappy winners and a few skilled losers mixed in, the game's mostly challenging. If lots of unskilled players win and lots of skilled players lose, the game's on the non-challenging side. Note the vague, unquantifiable imprecision. Because challenge ain't an all-or-nothing thing. There's lots of space between perfect correlation and non-existent correlation. It's a spectrum, a phase space. The synergy of victory. Now, I personally think that definition is super easy to grok. But experience has shown that some of you need some juxtaposition and context to really get what I'm driving at. So let me expand. First, going forward, I'm going to drop winning and losing from the discussion and instead refer to positive and negative outcomes. The distinction's going to be really important a few headings down. Lots of games these days aren't about winning or losing. They aren't just about winning and losing. Many games grade and reward performance and rank players. So there's a huge spectrum of outcomes, and that's especially true in tabletop role-playing games. And because this whole defining outcomes and grading performance things is going to be a huge-ass sticking point below, and in the fall of this year, I'm keeping shit really abstract for now. In the broad spectrum of every game of every type ever defined, there are lots of factors that might figure into a game's outcome. To simplify things and to stay focused on tabletop role-playing games, I'm going to discuss just three. And I'm just changing a word here because the word choice I didn't read was the crappy one. First, as I mentioned above, there's player skill. That's a broad term that describes any mix of player traits, qualities, talents, and skills a game can test. Games can test coordination, balance, strength, reaction time, fine motor control, strategy, perception, tenacity, memory, resource management, risk tolerance, interpersonal abilities, intrapersonal abilities, self-awareness, patience, conscientiousness, and so on, etc., ad infinity and beyond. Second, there's random chance. That's not such a broad term, and I hope I don't have to explain it. Because I'm not going to. Third, there's avatar strength. This one's pretty specific to tabletop role-playing games and games with so-called RPG elements. Avatar strength refers to all the numbers and mechanics that define a player's in-game character, including the character's skills, which are just mechanical statistics and have nothing to do with the capital S skill I keep mentioning above. And yeah, there's a bunch of rabbit holes I'm steadfastly refusing to jump down. First, I ain't going to talk a lot about which skills a given game should test. Second, I ain't going to discuss the issue of avatar strength being a function of character optimization, a player skill, and random die rolls, random chance, depending on the game. Third, I ain't discussing whether character optimization is a player skill tabletop role-playing game should test. Fourth, I ain't going to discuss the pros and cons of decoupling avatar strength from the game's statistical balance to downplay its impact on the outcome. And fifth, I apparently completely cut out the rabbit hole about flow state and the problem of challenge, not difficulty, falling as avatar strength rises, and I only just now discovered I cut it out as I was trying to figure out where I meant to put this graph I drew, which is now homeless, but which I will include nonetheless so you can all wonder about the thousand words that could have been, and demand I write another article explaining it all. And I will even post the beautiful graph for those of you listening live, so that you can all see the graph that will not be explained and referenced anywhere in this article, because I cut it out. Anyway, it's been a long time since I invited you all to dance for an article, huh? Rabbit holes aside, the point is just that a challenging game is one in which player skill has more to say about the outcome than random chance, avatar strength, or anything else, such that, all else being equal, more skilled and more experienced players usually achieve more positive outcomes. A non-challenge is a non-game. Challenge is essential to game design. To the extent that games offer no challenge at all, games in which the outcome is wholly independent of player skill, aren't... Oh, let me try that again, because I think I skipped a word and it made this read crappy. Hold on. Challenge is essential to game design. To the extent that games that offer no challenge at all, games in which the outcome is wholly independent of player skill, aren't games at all. They're hobbies, activities, distractions, and diversions. Psychologically, they don't affect players' brains like games do. Why? Because challenge is the extent to which the player's choices impact the outcome, and it's also the dimension of gameplay that allows players to play better with time and practice. In other words, it's where both agency and progress live. But this ain't an all or nothing thing. It never is. Challenge makes games games, but the degree to which games challenge players can vary widely. Some players want their games to really test them. Others need to feel tested, but don't want to be tested too hard. This is why challenge is a play aesthetic and varies from player to player. That said, players who don't want any challenge are wrong, because they don't want to play games. They want to do something else. And hot take, there's a huge number of neophyte Dungeons and Dragoneers that don't want to play a game. They're just not savvy enough to say it that way. And while that's fine, Wizards of the Coast... Why did that autocorrect to Wizards of the Ghost? Wizards of the Coast needs to know better and decide once and for all whether D&D is a role-playing game or a collaborative storytelling activity. It can't do both. Trying to do both is making everyone miserable. But I digress. The point is that a game's not a game and doesn't provide the psychological payoff that games specifically provide if it lacks sufficient challenge. That's why in D&D, the players must make choices, devise strategies, draw conclusions, and choose approaches. That's why push button to use skill on skill shape lock is so unsatisfying. And it's why you can't play a character that's smarter than you. And why charisma isn't about your character knowing what to say, it's just about how they say what you want them to say. But I digress. Again. Difficulty defined. So that's challenge. Challenge is the extent to which player skill, not random chance and not avatar strength, correlates with a game's outcome. So what's difficulty? Isn't it just a way of saying how much challenge there is? No, it just ain't that simple. You can have challenging games that aren't difficult. You can have difficult games that aren't very challenging. but you can't have difficult non-challenges. Challenge is how player skill is balanced against the other factors to determine a game outcome. Difficulty is the level of player skill required to get a good outcome, to win or get a high score or have a good run or whatever. Whatever the game considers good performance, difficulty is how much player skill it takes to achieve it. A game can be highly dependent on player skill. Roguelikes, not roguelites, for example, have no advancement to speak of. There's no avatar strength to consider. Every run's an independent trial. Randomness is a big factor, but skilled players can perform well even when the RNG is against them by mastering the game's systems. In fact, that's the point of a roguelike, to master the game's systems so you can handle any run the game throws at you. Roguelikes are very challenging by their nature. But roguelikes can also vary tremendously in difficulty. The player skill required to have a good run can vary wildly, and that's the difference between challenge and difficulty. And while players, and some game designers, conflate challenge and difficulty, the smartest designers know they aren't the same, and that challenge-seeking players aren't all looking for punishing difficulty. When game mechanics disguise themselves as challenge and difficulty. Challenge and difficulty are game design things, and they're specifically to do with how players interact with a game's challenges. But tabletop role-playing games like to fling around the words challenge and difficulty. They're even used as game mechanical statistics, and that confuses the hell out of everyone. In Dungeons & Dragons, for example, character level and challenge rating measure the balance between the character's avatar strengths and the statistical mathematical game obstacles and enemies, and they take into account random chance. Thus, challenge rating measures everything except challenge. In theory, it's still useful. After all, if there's a gap between an obstacle's stats and avatar strength weighted for random chance, player skill can make up the difference. In other words, if a third-level character is 40% likely, by the game's math alone, to overcome a third-level obstacle, a skilled player should be able to bring those odds up to something acceptable. In theory. Thus, encounter difficulty. Remember in the Dungeon Master's Guide, encounters are defined as easy, medium, hard, or deadly. Encounter difficulty measures the gap that player skill has to fill. An easy encounter is one most players can win regardless of their player skill, and a hard encounter is one that most players will lose unless they lean hard on their player skill. In theory. But that ain't quite how it works in practice, and there are a few reasons for that. Some derive from the fact that most adventure designers and homebrewers, and more than a few professional game designers, don't really understand this crap. And that's why so many game masters keep trying to fix perceived problems with the game's challenge by futzing with the numbers or blaming game balance. But the big problems that Dungeons & Dragons doesn't really do challenge and difficulty on the encounter level. That'd be stupid. And thus, challenge rating and encounter difficulty are actually about rates of attrition. This is actually a really brilliant approach to a pretty big problem in tabletop role-playing game system design. And I will explain precisely why I think that dirty, dirty word is actually brilliant design, and why the idiots at WotC really need to stop listening to dumbass players and stripping it away. But first, I've got to explain something else. All challenges, great and small. We're going deep into the game design weeds here, and really, we shouldn't have to. If D&D designers did their jobs right, and arrogant, prideful game masters would just read the books and follow the instructions instead of breaking everything and then complaining the designer should have explained why the game doesn't work if you break all the rules, you wouldn't need to read this and I'd still be an accountant laboring away in the debit mines. Man, I miss the smell of ledger ink in the morning. But anyway, the whole attrition thing and the reason why challenge and difficulty don't work the way you think they do is down to macro challenge. And macro challenge is an aspect of scenario design. A higher level of design. Scenario design is part of game design, where is the part, it should be the part, is the part of game design. Scenario design is the part of game design wherein you string all the game's pieces together into something playable. A level, a dungeon, an adventure, a campaign, or whatever. In tabletop role-playing games, scenario designers build actual playable adventures, and scenario designers include professional and independent publishers and individual game masters who write their own adventures. Scenario design's the purview of adventure designers and homebrewers. Scenario design is the reason, by the way, that you don't improvise your whole friggin' game, no matter how good an improviser you think you are. Sorry. Scenario designers turn game components and game engines into actual playable fun games. Remember, the Dungeons & Dragons core rulebooks don't contain a game. They're a mishmash of rulebook, game engine, and developer toolkit. Adventure designers and homebrewers use those tools to make actual games. They do the scenario design, and then game masters make the game happen. From micro-challenge to macro-challenge. It's easy to design a scenario. Just build a gauntlet of individual encounters and dare the players to get through them all. That's the simplest scenario there is. A slightly more complex scenario involves scattering those encounters around an explorable face. Around an explorable space. I'm just misreading words today. Okay, it's easy to design a scenario. Just build a gauntlet of individual encounters and dare the players to get through them all. That's the simplest scenario there is. A slightly more complex scenario involves scattering those encounters around an explorable space. Sound familiar? I tried to say face in there. Like, I don't know if you heard it, but I actually stumbled. Like, my lips went... And then I said space. Why the hell do I insist on misreading space as face? I don't know. Anyway, that setup's got a problem. If the players fail any encounter, they lose the entire scenario. It's an all or nothing affair. And given every individual encounter must include some chance of failure, the more encounters you put between the players and the finish line, the more likely they are to eventually fail one of them. In other words, you've got a game the players must play perfectly every time until they're done. Fair enough if you're designing a video game, because the players can just keep respawning until they manage to not fail through to the end. But tabletop role-playing games are built on persistent permanent consequences, and they're built to go on pretty much forever. The solutions to design a scenario such that the individual encounters, hereafter called micro-challenges, don't matter so much, and that the scenario itself provides some kind of big, overarching macro-challenge. Macro-challenge exemplified. I can't talk today. That's the problem, is my mouth is just stupid today. Hi, this is the Angry GM, and bear with me today because I'm suffering stupid mouth. And my leg is haunted. This macro challenge versus micro challenge thing can be tricky to grok. Let me offer a few examples to make it clear. I've been replaying Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor lately. And I misspelled it Shadow of Mordor. Okay. I've been replaying Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor lately. I love the combat, but the challenges don't scale well with your avatar strength, so the game gets easier the longer you play it. That ain't great, and I think the whole discussion on flow states is precisely why that ain't great, but I cut that all out. I cut out like 1,000 words. You'll never know what I had to say about flow state and game balance and avatar strength and challenge difficulty and all that shit. Oh well, sorry. Sucks to be all of you. I know what's in there because it's in my head. Anyway, I've been replaying, even if I did try to tell you what's in there, I wouldn't be able to say it right because I have stupid mouth and a haunted leg. I've been replaying Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor lately. I love the combat, but the challenges don't scale well with your avatar strength, so the game gets easier the longer you play it. That ain't great. The point is, I got to the point where it was trivially easy to slay groups of orcs. But then I hit this side quest where I had to chase down and kill 3 groups of orcs within a strict time limit. And that's a macro challenge. Killing the orcs, the micro challenges, was easy, but victory required me to do it quickly and efficiently and to navigate quickly between the groups. Mysteries are great macro challenges too. Investigating a mystery might involve extracting information from witnesses, hunting for clues, and fighting off thugs, micro challenges all, but however well you handle all of that shit, victory is actually about deducing the answer to the question posed by the scenario. In my module, Fall of Silverpine Watch, the players must either destroy a ghost or convince it to stop being a problem. Destroying it's really hard unless the players thoroughly explore the dungeon and use the magical items they find. And interacting with the ghost is almost impossible without solving the mystery surrounding the ghost's final moments. The outcome of a macro challenge is dependent on something other than just the outcomes of the individual micro challenges. And macro challenges are often great tests of player skill, even when the individual micro challenges aren't. Does this sound familiar? Let me provide one more macro challenge example, just to make sure y'all really get this shit. Imagine you've got this heavily encounter-based game wherein the players explore of their own volition and face lots of independent micro-challenges. How do you avoid the play-perfect-forever trap and build any macro-challenge? First, make it really hard to fail the micro-challenges. Really hard. Like, only a complete idiot would fail a given micro-challenge. It ain't impossible to fail one, but it's pretty close to it. But it's pretty good. Second, build a bunch of resources into the game such that as the players face individual micro challenges, they either expend or lose those resources. Thus, the scenario's outcome doesn't hinge on how the micro challenges come out, but rather on the efficiency with which the players deal with each one. The players can win every micro-challenge but still end up with a bad outcome if they waste too many resources on the way. That, right there, is the attrition macro-challenge. Attrition is not a four-letter word. People slag on the attrition macro-challenge in tabletop role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons a lot, and that ain't fair. Because it's a really brilliant way to solve a very difficult problem in role-playing game system design. When you design a role-playing game system, you know, if you're smart, that you're designing an incomplete game. You're building an engine. Someone else will have to do the scenario design. And you can't count on that person being a scenario design virtuoso. Because you're selling your game engine to the masses, to armchair designers and interested laypeople and rank amateurs. Good role-playing game designers know they've got to build systems that empower amateurs to design good scenarios. And they know those amateurs ain't gonna read hundreds of pages of scenario design theory. And even if they would, those hundreds of pages wouldn't turn most of them into good scenario designers. The trick, then, is to hard code as much good scenario design as possible right into the game system, which ain't easy. Scenario design is really complicated. Hell, I'd argue that it's way more difficult and important than engine design. This whole macro challenge thing is a vital scenario design component. Without it, you've got a string of play perfectly until you fail micro challenges that feels crappy, and it isn't obvious why it feels crappy because scenario design is really subtle. You can play through countless examples of great scenario design, like Hollow Knight and Dark Souls and Link's Awakening and Mega Man, without ever noticing what they're doing that feels so good. And examples of good scenario design are thin on the ground these days because it's way easier to shit out yet another open-world action-adventure sandbox. I won't claim Dungeons & Dragons has had an attrition macro challenge baked in from the beginning. It really hasn't. But the seeds of one were there thanks to the intuitive design savvy of folks like Gygax, Arneson, and others. It wasn't until the 3rd edition Dungeon Master's Guide that the attrition micro challenge was fully built out and presented as the core scenario design. As I said, you can't turn every homebrewer into a game designer. It'd be stupid to try. But what you can do is codify a good example of basic scenario design in your developer's toolkit and ensure it's built around a solid macro challenge. That way, even if the scenario designer brings nothing else to the table in terms of good design, they've got a minimally fun gameplay experience. The attrition macro challenge was a great choice. It lent itself perfectly to the play experience Dungeons & Dragons already provided. It was basically an evolution of the game's design. And it was also fairly innocuous. Hell, absent any other mechanics, the attrition macro challenge isn't even about winning or losing, but rather about how far you can push and how much you can accomplish. The attrition macro challenge is easy to layer other macro challenges over. A timed adventure is basically just an attrition macro challenge with a hard cap on how inefficient the players can be before they lose. Random encounters and restocking dungeons are about dropping crap in the way of players' progress due to their inefficiency. Event-based encounters take control over the gauntlet away from the players, punishing them hard for inefficient play by not letting them recover their resources. And optional side areas provide rewards for players who are willing to risk inefficiency. It pisses me off when people shit all over the attrition macro challenge. It's a brilliant, elegant design solution. And it drives me nuts when game masters reject it out of hand and then piss and moan that the game doesn't work when it's ripped out. If you don't like the attrition macro challenge, that's fine. It's a pretty rudimentary macro challenge after all. But know that it's doing something important. It can't be removed. It must be replaced. And you'd better be ready to do some serious heavy lifting. And it ain't fair to demand the system designers accommodate you. It's unreasonable and impractical. And if you don't understand why that demand is unreasonable and impractical, you're probably not savvy enough to do the heavy lifting you need to do. No offense. It pisses me off even more when people simultaneously complain that Dungeons & Dragons is too easy, that it doesn't challenge the players, and also that everything in Dungeons & Dragons boils down to life or death, victory or defeat. No, Dungeons & Dragons isn't too easy. The micro-challenges are supposed to be borderline unfailable. And yes, there is a state between victory and defeat. It's called efficiency. You're just too damned fixated on the micro-challenges to see why that shit matters. But what pisses me off the most is when the stewards of a once great game full of brilliant tools that let total amateurs build totally fun games without skill or experience say shit like, "Well, we've found most players don't play more than one encounter per in-game day, so we're just stripping out the resource management aspects no one's using." See, I can accept clueless amateurs and armchair designers don't get this shit. And I know such people always think they're smarter than they are. So I can accept they'll blithely ignore the clear instructions and then blame their broken-ass game on the instructions not explaining enough why not following the instructions breaks things. But I absolutely cannot accept so-called game designers taking their cues from those dumbasses. The end.